shit thoughts are running through a criminal. Darren Kessel with We Are Change, and I have here JD Nero, a good friend of mine. I've known him for years, and he's going to be releasing a new music video for his song Sincerely Yours. How you doing, JD?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. So, tell me a little bit about this song and what inspired you to write it.
Okay. So, the song is called Sincerely Yours, as you said. And basically, I haven't released a project since 2014. And there are a lot of different things that have just been going on in society. And, you know, we had the election recently. And, you know, just since then, since 2014, there's been a lot of different things going on. And I just thought that there were some different things that I needed to express. So I put the song together, and I actually released it on November 1st of 2016. So I was inspired by some of the events that were going on and some of the things that I felt were kind of like left untouched.
Right.
Because there was a lot of coverage of the election, which was upcoming at the time when I wrote it. And I don't know, I just felt like a lot of different things need to be said. So I kind of just touched on certain things.
Okay. So some of the other tracks on your new album, it's called Past, Present, Future is the album. And
mm-hmm.
Some of your other tracks are Killing Life, Where She's Going, and Writer's Block, and I'm Climbing. What is your favorite track out of your new CD?
I don't have a favorite. That's a good question. I don't really have a favorite. I do think that Killing Life is the most interesting because it's something that I, sound-wise, that I wouldn't normally do.
So it's a different flow style.
Yeah. The sound is a bit more modern. I don't usually do stuff like that, which is kind of the point of the project. The point of the project is to kind of blend different sounds from different eras in hip-hop. My fans have told me that they feel I have a great blend of, you know, what would be called old-school hip-hop now.
Yeah, right, right.
And
that's what I kind of got the feel for when I was actually listening to your CD that you provided me, the Past, Present, Future album. I kind of heard a mix of old-school rap. To it.
Yeah. So that's what I've been told. I've been told many times that I kind of have a really good blend between new school and old school. But I honestly wasn't doing it intentionally. That was just something that happened organically. So on this project, I purposely dove into certain sounds from different eras to try to see how it would be if I did it intentionally this time.
I mean, it sounded really good, man. What are some of your artistic inspirations? What types of artists inspire you to be a rapper?
I pull inspiration from different things. So as far as other MCs who inspire me, it's a long list, but some of the people, to name a few, would be like Rakim. Which I know he doesn't have any new music, but a lot of his old stuff is very inspiring to me. There are certain things that Kanye West has done that are extremely inspiring to me. You know, when Kanye first came out, he had a very quote-unquote conscious sound, but as he continued to release projects, he became this huge mainstream phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And in hip-hop, Kanye West was one of the most popular conscious rappers ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Rakim was just as popular. But, you know, besides that, there wasn't a solo hip-hop artist who was very popular and conscious the way Kanye was.
The last song that Kanye West actually did that was conscious, in my opinion, was Jesus Walks With Me.
Well, actually, it depends on how you look at it, because there's a great example in the song Power, which was from his My Dark Twisted Fantasy album. So Power has a really old, a really famous rock sample, And the beat is really crazy, so that's why people listen to it. But if you listen to the lyrics in the song Power, he's actually saying different things about government and different things that are going on. And that's exactly what I mean. Like, things like that are really inspiring to me, because Power was on the radio for over a year. Where, for example, you know, especially at that time, there weren't many quote-unquote conscious rappers being played on the radio. So it was really interesting to me that he was able to do something like that. But there are others like Lupe Fiasco, who I think does not get the credit he deserves. He's great. He's inspiring to me.
Yeah,
he's great. I love Lupe's music. Nas is a big favorite of mine. Definitely J. Cole, who just released a project today. Kendrick Lamar. I mean, the list goes on. Jay-Z, of course. Tupac, Biggie. There are a lot of people who inspire me with different things that they have done, and you know, musically for the culture, those type of things. So it's not really one person. And it made, like, for example, Kanye West, everything he does doesn't inspire me, obviously, but certain things that some people have done are very inspiring to me, and some of the things that people may not think inspire me as well, they actually do. Like, there are a lot of rappers who are not substance-based. Them being very popular is kind of inspiring to me, too, because it's like, you know, here's... It kind of shows you that anybody can make it, you know what I mean? If there's a... these mumble rappers, as they're called, you know, if there's room for them, there's room for me, you know what I mean?
You mean, by mumble rappers, you mean the new sound in rap where it's they're kind of just mumbling words that don't even make sense, right? That's how you're...
Right. Yeah. It's hard to dissect what's being said, because not necessarily it's being said fast. Like, I remember Busta Rhymes and even Twista, they had these super fast rhymes that you couldn't understand they were saying half the time. But it was impressive, because you knew if you slowed it down or if you looked at the lyrics, they were saying some shit. But mumble rap is interesting to me. It's kind of an anomaly. But it also does inspire me, though, because it shows me, you know, if there's room for these guys, there's room for me.
Right. Well, from what I noticed about your previous projects, one of your previous projects, I should say, the Expect Us album, that was more activist influence. This new project, I kind of felt like it wasn't as directed to activism. Like, the first song, Sincerely Yours, that was, but I think I felt that, like, everything else was kind of either personal experience or just wordplay.
Right. No, you are correct. So there's reasons why. So first, going back to the Expect Us project, in 2011, a friend of mine kind of put me onto the Anonymous situation and what was going on there. And I had never heard of them. I only heard via mass media that Legion had hacked Sony PlayStation Network. That's all I ever heard at that time. And I was like, oh, that's who those guys are? That's kind of crazy. And my friend was like, no, but they're great. They do all this cool stuff and a lot of the same stuff that you believe in. And I was like, oh, they do? I didn't know that. So I dug in, and I was able to connect with some really cool people. And I was very inspired by the Anonymous movement. And at that time, SOPA was one of the things that was trying to be pushed.
Yeah, they were trying to push SOPA, PIPA, ACTA, CISPA.
So. Right, yeah. So I wrote songs about those things, and I kind of felt like the Anonymous movement at the time was kind of doing a lot of the same things that I was trying to do with my music. And I felt like, you know, this would be a great opportunity to kind of let more people know what this movement was doing, you know, not necessarily myself, but the movement in general. Because, like I said, you know, I didn't know, you know, and I kept up with current events, and I was very into a lot of the things that they were fighting for. And when I found that out, I was like, wait a minute, why the fuck doesn't anybody know about this shit? Like, this should be on mass media. I mean, we know why it's not on mass media, but it's something that more people need to know about. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
even today, some people don't know about Anonymous, like...
Yeah, which is sad, because
there was a retweet the other day, and I said that I needed Anonymous research helpers, and somebody said back to me, what's an Anonymous? And I was like... Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Especially because the documentary was really, really popular.
Yeah, no, yeah. The Hacktivist documentary was very popular. And it actually featured a lot of people that I know. But
nice.
So, going back to what I said before about your music, how it had kind of more political before. Also, which was featured on your Expect Us album, was a song called Love Drug, which was more kind of, I felt was more more like a conscious love song, if that makes sense.
No, I got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Love Drug was good. Love Drug was kind of like the guy version of a breakup song, as one of my female friends told me. what I tried to do with the Expect Us project, because I knew that it was topic heavy. Mm-hmm. I still wanted it to be something that somebody who may not necessarily be looking for substance heavy music could still bump. You know, you could still put it on, clean the house, and enjoy the project as a whole.
Right.
So I did certain things that that I thought would be, you know, a little more appealing to the ear, a little more softer. To kind of balance things out, because there were such heavy topics on that project, I kind of wanted to put certain things there to balance it out. So there's things like Love Drug, you know, Pockets Full of Lint, which is like almost a club song about not having money, you know.
I actually really like that. I think that was the first song I actually heard from you.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I didn't know that. That's pretty dope. But yeah, so yeah, the aim of the Expect Us project was to try to put out this project that people could just you know, play straight through. And although it was topic heavy, I tried to balance it out with records that were softer on the ears and wouldn't make you, you know, want to pause it and go do research. You know what I mean? So yeah, Love Drug is definitely one of the popular records from that project. And I think that part of the reason is because, like I said, it kind of gave you a break. It kind of gave you a minute to say, like, you know, there's a lot of heavy shit being spoken about, but for a second, I can kind of just relate to this record. You know what I mean?
Now, are you planning on any more videos for any more of your songs?
Yeah, so Past, Present, Future is not officially out yet. It will be very soon. And we're going to shoot some more videos for this project. And I can't really say what records just yet. We're still in the planning phases of those things. But we are definitely going to work on some other videos. We're about to release the Sincerely Yours video, most likely next week. And, you know, I just want to try to push that first before I, you know, start focusing on other parts of the puzzle.
Right. Now, where can people find your music?
All of my music is available on Bandcamp. If you go to jdneromusic.bandcamp.com, all of my music is there for free. For those who enjoy streaming websites, I am on every one of them. I have some of my projects are on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, all of those sites as well. And then I have a couple of songs on my SoundCloud page, but not many.
Okay. Now, are you allowing people to donate to you for you putting these together, or?
Yeah, on Bandcamp there is a there's an option where people can pay whatever price they want. So, you know, I do believe that...
Right, okay, right. I completely forgot about that.
No, it's all right, yeah. So that's how I have it set up. Yeah, so I have it set up that way where on Bandcamp, although it says everything's for free, if you choose to put a donation, then that's fine. For people who want to straight up buy it, there are some projects on iTunes, but not all of them are up there. The only place my entire catalog is up at the moment is Bandcamp.
Well, iTunes actually rips... A lot of people don't know this. iTunes actually rips off the artist. They take a certain percent from the artist.
Yeah. We know that. That we know. Yeah.
Right. Well, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. That I know. Well, when you're independent, it's a little different because
right.
So you have to give up a certain percentage in order to put your stuff on iTunes and Spotify and the rest of those websites. The really interesting one to me is the streaming websites, because a lot of people I don't think know. But as an artist, when people stream your music, you're literally paid pennies or less.
So you
get a report on your spins and how many streams you have, and that's cool. But some of them literally say the name of your record, then it says the date it was streamed, mm-hmm. and which company it was streamed from, and then it will say the amount you're paid. A lot of them are 0 cents. To 5 cents, and most of them are between 0 and 1 cent per play.
Right, so you're not making anything.
Yeah, I'm making shit. So it's kind of crazy,
basically making pocket lint, right?
Yeah, right. You got lint, right? Lots of lint in the pocket. So yeah. So I think that it's an interesting situation with the streaming, because it's something where as a fan you can say like, hey, you know. I like Jay-Z. I want to hear all his stuff. And for $10 a month, or whatever the fuck price they charge, they can, you know, you can hear all of Jay-Z's stuff all the time. But you're not getting paid shit unless you really are Jay-Z or Drake or one of these huge artists who has a contract deal set up with that streaming company.
Right, because then the pennies add up, right.
Well, then, not only that, but then there are certain artists who have a deal with the streaming company. So, like, we've all seen, Jay-Z's partial owner of Tidal.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift and Drake have deals with Apple Music. So they're going to get more than the average person. So they're not seeing, you know, 0 cents for a stream.
Right.
But yeah, it's an interesting situation because those artists don't get shit for those streams. So I put it there so it's still available. But I don't really bank on making money off the streams.
Right. Now, I noticed that your latest project only has 5 songs as
8.
Compared to
8 songs.
8 songs.
Mhm. Mhm.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I was reading what you sent me in Twitter.
No, it's okay.
But I was looking at that compared to the Specless tape that had more songs.
Right. Yeah, it has 16.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That had 16 songs as compared to the 8 songs. Now, my question about that is, are you planning on, in the future, releasing a more in-depth album where there's more songs on there for the listener, or are you going to be sticking to this 8 songs format?
I'm not sure. I do know.
Or is that kind of just how it came to be?
Well, it's a mix of both. So my last two projects were both 8 songs. So Access Hollywood.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's why I asked the question.
Gotcha. Yeah. So Access Hollywood was 8 songs, and so was Past, Present. So is Past, Present, Future. I don't think it's necessarily an issue putting a longer project together. But I do feel that there are benefits to having a shorter project as well. The reason that Expect Us was so long was because there were so many things that I wanted to dive into topic-wise. And there were a lot of things I wanted to shed light on that the Anonymous Movement was doing. That's why they're mentioned in so many songs on that project. And then, like I said, I kind of needed songs to balance out, you know, the project. So, you know, it kind of added up very quickly. So Access Hollywood and Past, Present, Future, although they are also themed projects, because that's what Expect Us was. It was a themed project. They are shorter because they're kind of experimental in a sense. So Expect Us was a full-length LP because I knew that there were a lot of different things that I wanted to do. And although I was experimenting with a lot of the topics that I wanted to speak about and incorporating the movement that I was trying to help, I guess you could say publicize in a sense, the new projects are not really set up the same way because they are, although they are experimenting, it's different. So with Expect Us, there was a lot of experimenting as far as how I was going to balance out the project. That was one of my biggest worries because I know that balance is very important. At least for me, I feel that if you do anything in life, it has to be balanced. And music definitely is one of those things where you can't have, you know, just the same thing going on all the time. So that was a very important thing for me. And I also wanted to make sure that I represented the movement properly. Although a lot of the things that were said, it was things that I also believed in. There was never anything said that I did not believe in. But because it was being delivered not necessarily for me, I was not necessarily speaking for myself every time. I wanted to make sure that there was proper representation. So that's part of why the project was so lengthy. Where Access Hollywood and Past, Present, Future, they're less about representation of others and more about me kind of playing around with new things. So Access Hollywood is a project where I kind of, so I'm a big movie buff. A lot of people don't know that. But I love watching movies. I watch movies all the time. So I kind of let some of the movies and the shows and the media, I wanted to incorporate that into my music, which I kind of did on the Expect Us project, but this time I wanted to almost let the music be dictated by media, which was kind of also a subliminal play because I feel like we do that in our everyday lives. Right. So that was part of why I did it too. Although the songs are not as topic heavy as Expect Us, that was part of the aim to see if people would realize, like, oh, what this guy's doing in music, we kind of do that shit every day with our lives. So that's what it was. So in Access Hollywood, although there are only eight songs, each of the songs have a spin on some form of media. So it could have been a YouTube video, it could have been a piece of the news, it could have been a movie. But I wasn't sure how people were going to take to that because I've never seen a project like that before. The only person who did something similar that I know of was Jay-Z when he did the American Gangster out. He used a lot of different concepts from the movie, but not every part had audio clips or things directly from the film. Some things were just him saying how he could relate to the things he saw in the film. Okay, so, yeah. The American Gangster album is extremely interesting to me because, have you seen the movie American Gangster?
Yeah.
With Denzel Washington? Okay, right. So, basically,
I didn't know that album was actually based off that movie, though.
Yeah. So what he did, well, I guess we'll get back to my music, but so what Jay-Z did was he, because I read it in an interview when it came out, and what he did was he was trying to kind of see what he could do to incorporate his music into the soundtrack of the American Gangster album. So once he told the filmmakers that, they sent him an early copy of the movie. So he liked the movie so much and felt he could relate to so many different parts of it that they said he literally was in the studio watching it and pausing it and recording simultaneously. So like he would watch, let's say 10 minutes of the movie and something would happen and he like, oh shit, that reminds me of when this happened with me and JD. And he'll pause it, go in the booth, write some shit, record it, and then put the movie back on. So he ended up having an entire album. And if you listen to the album and watch the movie, like, you know, back to back, you'll see that he's saying things that are directly from the film, but how it happened with him. So, like, there's a scene in the movie where there's a dirty cop who, you know, he basically forces Denzel Washington's character and his crew to pay him money. And he says in the film, he says, you know, the guy says, you know who you fucking with? You know, we got money, we do these things. And he says, hey, man, you got to pay your dues. So in one of the songs, Jay-Z literally quotes that scene, but he speaks about how he saw a guy who hustled in his neighborhood when he was a young kid in school go through the same thing. And he says, you know, I was in school. And so in one verse, he's talking about how, like, the really cool car that he liked was by his school. And then in the second verse, I think it's the second verse, he states how, you know, one day he saw that same car get pulled over by the cops. And basically the cops were taking his money. So he says in the song, he says, well, we called corrupt, he called paying dues. And that's exactly from the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of stuff like that in the film. But to go back to your question, these projects are shorter because they are a little more experimental for me. They are me trying out new things. I'm never against doing a longer project. But I think that we also have some benefits of having a shorter project. So I think with a shorter project, you get more replay value where something is short and sweet. So you kind of want more. But since there's no more, you're like, you know what? That was so short. I'm going to play it again. Right? And I also think that, as far as...
It depends, like, if you have every track has bars on it, and then it's, I mean, then you can have multiple replay values.
Right. No, I agree. But yeah, it's a hard question to answer. I'm not necessarily against writing longer projects. I actually write a lot. It's actually hard for me to choose just 8 songs a lot of times. So like these last 2 projects, there's a lot of material I didn't use. And I'm just kind of sitting on it because I write a lot. I've been fortunate enough to work with quite a few producers. So I have a lot of different... Yeah, I've been very fortunate. And I work with some great guys. And, you know, they send me a lot of stuff. So I'm constantly writing. And, you know, every time I get inspired by different things and events, I write. So it's not necessarily about not having enough material. There's a lot of material I have, actually. But... kind of because I'm still not really sure how things are going to be received. I don't want to put out anything too long to where it kind of feels like this is boring. So like for Access Hollywood, if I had 20 songs with audio clips on them from movies and YouTube videos and the news, you know, it could be kind of boring after a while. And I know that's all based on perspective, obviously.
Depends on the beat, like if it's a slow beat right. Or up tempo beat, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there are definitely a lot of variables. So I don't necessarily have a preference, but those are some of the reasons why these last 2 projects have been shorter than expect us.
Right. Now, do you plan on in the future releasing more political type rap?
I'm not against it. I think that after Expect Us, I didn't want people to feel that I was going to be a current event rapper. Right? I didn't think that it would be great to release a song every time something happened. because I think that you have to be very careful with music, especially right now. I'm always going to express the things I feel. I have done songs about Occupy when they were doing their thing. I have the song about SOPA, obviously. You know, there are a lot of different things that I have touched base on. So I'm definitely going to continue to do so. But will we have an entire political project again? I don't know. I guess it depends how things go in these next, you know, couple months, weeks, years with Trump and all the different things that are going on. And also sometimes when things happen, I don't make music about it because I don't want to seem, I don't want it to come across as monotonous. So, for example, there have been way too many deaths of innocent civilians by police officers.
Right.
Yeah, way too many. But I wrote about that in 2012. In 2012, on the Expecta song album, there's a song called 5-0, which speaks about all of those things. So,
at the same time, though, I mean, you could update it and you can make it way better, you know?
No, 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 you're right. But that's what I'm saying. It's like I don't want to... I don't want to put out almost the same exact song 12 times. You know what I'm saying? So, for example, let's say, you know, Trayvon Martin, right? When he passed, I could have done a song, but there was already 5-0. So, you know, there have been countless deaths, which is very sad and very, you know, very upsetting to me since then, since 2012 when I wrote the song, and since Trayvon Martin as well. There are so many different names and hashtags that exist, and even the hashtag thing is something that I could have made a song about. But, one, there have been many people who have made songs about the police shootings in the last 2 years. And,
it
two...
It has to be highlighted. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, no, no, I agree. I agree.
It's not even just... See, my thing is that... some people make it out to just be a black problem where black African Americans are being killed by cops. That's true. That's true. But there's also Latinos, Latinas,
right.
White, Asians.
Yeah, there've been some Native Americans as well.
Right. It's not about race. Mm-hmm. It's about the training that's going on with police, and that most police officers are recruited with quote-unquote low IQs. That's said by ex-CIA Steve D. Kelly.
Mm.
And I mean, it's just ridiculous at this point. I understand some shootings and they're tragedies just because of the way they happened, and yeah, the cop had to defend himself, felt endangered, whatever. But then there's shootings like what's the recent shooting going through the courts right now?
Well, most of them are almost savage acts, to be right. honest. And I am not saying that that's okay. I think that it sucks, and I think that it is extremely unjust, and I do think that there are things that need to be done. But the point I was trying to make was that for me to make a song every time a man of color or an innocent civilian was killed, I'd be making songs every week at this point. Before I could put one out, another song would have to be written. So that's part of why I didn't, because if you listen to some of the songs that I've already put out, I've already said the things that I would say now. They're the same things that I would say, you know, I said what I think is the bigger plan on the song one, on Access Hollywood. You know, the military has already policed an entire state. People have not even thought about that. If you ask the average person in the street, you said, hey, what do you think would have to happen for the police to not exist and for the military to be the police? They'll say, man, that shit can't happen. You're crazy. It already happened.
It already happened in Boston when the Boston bombing happened.
Yeah, but even then, it happened in Ferguson. In Ferguson,
oh,
the
yeah, yeah, right,
yeah. yeah, yeah, there was police that they were just tanks on street corners chilling, like, you know, yeah, it's just where we hang out now. Yeah, and I said that stuff already. So it's not necessarily a matter of will I write these things. It's how would I do it differently next time? Because I've said a lot of these things. And I also, for me, it's also very difficult to choose at times what I'm going to write about. Because there are so many unjust, fucked up things going on that sometimes it's like, okay, well, you know, you have a song about the police. Okay, great. You have a song saying that you believe that we need to focus less on the drama and the television and unify. Okay, well, you have, I've kind of written a lot of different things already. So I will always express what I feel, and I am very interested in politics and will definitely continue to write about that. But I am trying to be more choosy about what I write now, not because of fear. I don't give a fuck about that. I think I proved that already. But simply because I have so much material out on a lot of these topics.
Right. And you just don't want to keep repeating yourself over and over again.
Right, yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes it becomes monotonous. Like, don't get me wrong with all the killing, especially the police murders. I've written a lot of different things, but like I said, I have a song that speaks about different, you know, people being killed by police and what I feel should happen and questioning quote unquote good police. That's already a song. So I'd be making the same song just angrier this time. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's gotta be done. So.
I hear you, but you know, sometimes it's a hard position to be in, because one, I don't want to sound monotonous, and two, I also really dislike being trendy. And it seemed at one point when the shootings were happening that writing a song about the shootings was just a trend. There were people who spoke up that their song wasn't even saying anything. And don't get me wrong, if you never made a song that was substance heavy or topic heavy and you decided today is the day I'm gonna do one, that's inspiring to me. That's great to me. We need more of that. But then
the person I was speaking about earlier was Walter Scott. That's the shooting that I'm just absolutely disgusted about.
Right.
That shooting right there actually highlights the problem that is wrong with police.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Sadly, we can give many examples of disgusting, savage police killings that are just going on film, and there's no real penalty for it.
Well, the reason why I said Walter Scott shooting is because it highlights two things. It highlights the police brutality, where
right.
He drew his weapon and shot at him as he was running away.
Right.
And that should never happen. That's
right.
That's wrong.
Correct.
And number two, it highlights that police officer, he actually dropped evidence. He planted evidence at the scene. There's a video of it. You see him drop something on his body, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's like, so that highlights two of the most biggest problems I feel that are plagued with police, and not just police in the U.S., but police everywhere. I mean, corruption right. happens. It's a thing, but I mean, it's just that shooting is. I'm amazed that shooting has not been prosecuted. I would think that would be the first shooting that would actually be prosecuted, where the cop would actually go to jail. Because all these shootings, the problem is, there's no accountability.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, and that's the biggest issue. So it's kind of a weird situation as far as the music, because like I said, when it was this like trendy, I'm going to make a song about the shooting stuff, at first I was like, oh, this is great. Everyone talk about it. This is awesome. But then some people were just making songs just because they felt like, well, I could get some plays if I have this hashtag in my video right. or whatever. Right. And it's son, honestly, that's not what it's about. You know, it's about accountability. Right. Like you said, it's about accountability. It's about fixing this fucked up, unjust system. But that's not, you know, that's not what the focus is. The focus is the Kardashians or Kanye West bugging out at a concert and stupid fucking shit like that. So it's like, you know, right. It's bad. You know, it's really bad. And honestly, there have been so many killings. And, you know, even if you look outside of our nation, in other nations, the rate that cops kill people is so much smaller. Yeah. You know, we kill more cops kill more people in the United States than anywhere else on the planet. That's a problem. Yeah, that's a big fucking problem.
It is a problem.
But, you know, to make a song every week when a guy dies, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of hard. I don't know if I have the
going
resources.
Going on the record here, I was actually, when I was in jail, and the police officer... Or I'm sorry, not the police officer, the warden, he came up to me, and he told me to sign $50 out of my wallet over to the jail. And he told me that if I did not sign this $50 over to the jail, he said that I was going to have an accident in the brig, and he pointed to a big black officer. So that's another form of corruption.
Oh, yeah, it's all over the place. This is what America does. But, I mean, we can do this all day. There's private prisons in America who have contracts with the government. Right. And, obviously, what does that say? It's business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prison is business in America. And that's crazy. That's crazy to think about that. So,
about Kanye West, he mm-hmm. actually made a song, New Slaves, where he actually says about how the prison industrial complex is actually owned by I just blanked out on that.
No, he definitely discusses it. There are many different owners because there are private sector prisons, and people think that most prisons are owned by the government, but that's not true.
Right.
Although there is some legislation going on that is supposedly going to change that, but I don't think that's going to pass, honestly.
A lot of people don't realize that some of these big record execs, they have stocks in the private industrial prisons. So when they're...
Oh, I'll make it better for you. I'm not going to say the person's name, but there's a rapper who's involved in private prisons.
Yeah, I know the person you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, but there's a rapper who's involved in private prisons. And the funny part is, for those who know who he is, his music is the kind of music that would inspire crime.
Yep.
So think about how those two things go hand in hand.
And this person that we're talking about, he was actually a ex-police officer in L.A.
Correct. Yeah, he was an officer.
Yeah, I got him.
Yeah, he was an officer.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Right. So basically, what you have are some of these mainstream rappers are actually selling out their fans
mm-hmm.
for money, not
yeah.
only from their albums, but from encouraging crime.
Yeah, that's why I said exactly what I said, because it's a setup. It's a setup. So I'm gonna own the place, or partially own. Maybe he doesn't fully own, but I partially own the place. That if you follow what my music is saying, you will end up there. So you're paying me for my records, and then you're paying me when you go there.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Now, the difference between your music and, say, Jay-Z or a mainstream rapper is that it's, what I've noticed, is that it's more positive, it's more kind of like sometimes helping the listener get through a problem or something like that.
Mm.
And yeah, it's more like a positive, upbeat feel to it. It's not. It always has a message to it.
Well, I first of all, thank you, and second, yeah, I try to, even when I speak of crime, I try to do it in a light where it makes you think about the crime that's happening. You know, I have.
Right.
I have a song on Expect Us called Deadly Sins. And Deadly Sins speaks about criminal acts. But it doesn't glorify the criminal act. It explains that there are people in harsh situations who are pushed to do crime. You know, I have songs about people who have sold drugs and end up dead. You know, none of my songs are the type that glorify crime. I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. I have never said that. But I do think that we need more substance. And I think J. Cole said it best. So J. Cole said in an interview about a year ago, maybe even like a year and a half ago now. It was a while ago. And anyway, he said in an interview that, you know, he feels if the music industry was 50%, music of substance and 50% music without substance, then cool. You know, maybe he wouldn't need to push substance as hard. But we all know it's not 50-50. It's not even close to 50-50. So I feel the same as him. Like, there are some of us who need to push certain topics and be positive a little more than others. You know what I mean? Because there's so much music out there that glorifies crap, and not enough music that is trying to solve problems or teach people.
Right.
So that's thanks. Yeah, that's kind of what I aim to do. I aim to inspire and bring substance while also giving you some shit that you could kind of just bump.
Right. Well, thank you for doing this interview, JD. And,
no doubt. Thank you.
I wish you success. And one more time, where can people get your music at?
So I'm on iTunes. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Tidal. I'm on SoundCloud. I'm on YouTube. And everything is free at jdneromusic.bandcamp.com.
All right, man. Awesome. Have a good night.
All right, peace.
Thoughts are running through a criminal's mind. It's like a scholar met a thug and somehow they intertwined. By the time I saw the light, it almost left me blind. In my 20s, but a guy like me is hard to find. You could catch me politicking with people.